Eversharp presents Take It or Leave It. Time to sharpen your wits with Eversharp. Yes, Take It or Leave It, presented by Eversharp, manufacturers of famous Eversharp precision writing instruments and Eversharp chicken sector razors and blades. Take It or Leave It, the most exciting game you ever played. The game that doubles in interest with every question asked. The game with the giant jackpot race. And so I give you the man with the $64 question, Eversharp's distinguished paymaster of ceremonies, and here he is, Phil Baker! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to Take It or Leave It. Well, folks, I've got some good news tonight for you. You don't have to worry anymore about those flying discs. I found out it was just Bing Crosby throwing away a lot of Sinatra records. Anyway, I can't understand why people scare so easily. One fellow I know ran down to the cellar and didn't come out for a wish. As soon as the show was over, I'm going right back again. Everybody was seeing discs every place. There was even a rumor that a lot of discs fell all around the White House. The FBI made the Republicans clean up all those Dewey buttons.
Well, friends, all over the country, people still report seeing the flying discs. Of course, there are people who still haven't seen any of them. I guess they're waiting for the 1948 models to come out. I'm not saying these flying discs don't really exist, but nobody living in Kansas City has seen them, and that's a dry state. The way the human mind works, people see just what they want to see. For example, a member of the Van Johnson fan club reported seeing a disc with freckles. I doubt that personally, but now today, in order to bring you up to date on the disc situation, we have arranged to get some first-hand reports from people who have actually seen them. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
My name is Harold Crombany. My friends call me Crumb.
Well, your friends know you better than I do, I guess. For a living, Harold?
I work as a mechanic in a sardine factory.
A mechanic in a sardine factory?
Yeah, every 1,000 sardines, I change the oil.
I see. Would you mind moving back a little? You're standing between me and the electric fan. Now then, Harold, can you give our radio audience a description of the disc you saw?
Well, certainly. The length was, I would say, between, well, anyway, the color was sort of, it was darker than that. It was more of a, well, there's a width, it ran anyway from, no, it was even wider.
Harold, how did you get all these details?
Simple, I mucked them down.
Oh.
You see, I'm used to this, I see a lot of junk.
You've seen other things besides discs?
I've seen all kinds of phenomena, Mums.
Well, thank you, Harold Crumbney. It's been grand having you, and let's not do it again real soon.
Well, thank you.
Now, you saw one of the flying discs, madam?
Would I be here if I seen chopped liver?
I guess not. Would you mind telling us your name, please?
Clarice Shambles, Hillside 5413. If a man answers it's me, I got a sinus condition.
Now about these flying discs, Mrs. Shambles.
That's Miss.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How do you think I feel?
Now tell me, when did you witness this amazing sight?
Well, I'm sitting on the front porch last Saturday, about to shave my legs. You see, all of a sudden, along comes a young man of the opposite sex. Hello, baby, he says to me. Cool as you please. How would you like to go up on the roof and watch the flying disc?
What happened?
Nothing. The jerk shows me a flying disc.
Well, you haven't been of much help, but thanks anyway. Clarice Shambles, girl, nothing. And now you, sir, I understand you're a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's correct. I am Dr. Heinrich Himmelstoff, known professionally as the Smiling Psychiatrist.
All I'll remember that if I ever have a brain to trade in. Now, about these discs, Doctor.
Yes. Are you choking? I am a psychiatrist. This whole thing is a hallucination. I have studied the situation very carefully.
You've done some research?
Oh, yeah, yeah. First, I am looking through a telescope. Then I'm looking through a microscope. And then, for good measure, I am going to a burlesque.
And what were your conclusions?
The scientific explanation is mass hysteria induced by emotional insecurity leading to schizophrenic tendencies in the subconscious portion of the cerebellum. In other words, people is nuts.
Doctor, does that mean that people have too much dementia in their precox?
Precisely.
Well, there's just one thing I don't understand, Doctor. You say you spent time looking through a telescope and yet you didn't see any discs.
Well, I'll tell you. I took my telescope up on the roof and I looked around and I did see something.
Then it might have been a disc.
I let you know. I got a date with her for next Tuesday night.
Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Holly. This is Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryant, Dick LeGrand, Elvia Allman, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the King's Band and Billy Mills Orchestra. Fibber and Molly join us in a moment. Recent surveys disclose important news about Johnson's Glow Coat. They show that families with children are among the biggest users of this self-polishing floor wax that is now positively water repellent. Now, it's easy to see why. With children in the house, mud and snow are bound to be tracked in, water and food are bound to be splashed or spilled. Well, that's when you thank your lucky stars for Glow Coat. Just a flick of a cloth whisks mud or moisture off that hard, gleaming surface. Glow Coat stays on, stays bright, even after repeated damp mopping. And here's something else that's big news. Because it's positively water repellent, Glow Coat now lasts up to 4 times longer. That means more for your money in every drop of Glow Coat you buy. Less work, too, because you have to do your floors so much less often. So tomorrow, get Johnson's Glow Coat. Whether you have children or not, you need this water repellent floor polish for longer lasting beauty and protection. It's in the familiar Glow Coat package. There's been a great deal of discussion lately, pro and con, about flying saucers. The pro people swear they've seen them. The con people say the pro people are victims of mass hypnotism. And here is one of the con men and his wife, Fibber McGee and Molly.
And furthermore, you show me a guy that claims he's seen a flying saucer, and I'll show you a guy that the whole thing is just a mere pygmy of his imagination.
You don't mean pygmy, dearie. A pygmy's a tiny little human being.
Yeah, well, they claim they've seen them, too. Men from Mars, 23 inches tall, with big heads. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's mass hysteria.
Oh, now, I wouldn't dismiss the subject as easily as that, McGee. The paper said this morning that an Army pilot chased one for 20 minutes.
Yeah, but did he catch it? No, sir. Did anybody ever catch one? No, sir. And why not? Because they're an optical derision, that's why.
Look, sweetheart, Army pilots aren't usually hysterical people. Transport flyers must have good eyesight or they wouldn't be flying transports. I'm inclined to think that where there's so much smoke, it can't always be a false alarm.
Okay, Tootsie, okay. You see, when they finally catch up with one of them things, you'll see they nobody ever will. This stuff is nothing new. Who was it back in 1912 that reported seeing a spaceship from Jupiter flying low and slow over the brewery back in Peoria? Me, that's who.
You?
You betcha. And what did it turn out to be? A baby caterpillar crawling across my sunglasses. Flying saucers. Ta-da.
All right. I won't argue, lover, but I'm still not convinced.
No, I am. My personal opinion is that anybody that claims he's seen a flying saucer ought to go to a good optimist and get his peepers overhauled. Well, I gotta go downtown. You wanna go with me?
Yes, it's a nice day for a walk. What are you going to do downtown?
I gotta look up a good patent lawyer about my new invention.
Oh, invention?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the plastic cross piece for radio aerials so the neighbors will think you have a television set?
No, this is a new type of alarm clock. It's got a sponge rubber bell that you can't hear it when it rings on Sunday mornings.
You ought to make a small fortune with that.
Yeah.
Very small.
Mm.
I'll get my hat, Dave. Come in.
Well, if it ain't the big pink doctor with the little black bag. Hello, doctor.
Hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, McGee. Hello, Molly. Going somewhere?
Yes, but I always wear my hat in the house anyway. Then if somebody comes to the door that I don't want to talk to, I can say I'm on my way out. And if it's somebody I like, I can say I just came in.
In this case, we're just going out.
All right, I can take a hint. I'm not as thick-skinned as somebody I know that I could reach out and touch if I hadn't just washed my hands. Can I drop you anyplace, McGee? Like, maybe on the top of your head?
Well, we were just going downtown, Doctor, and you can give us a lift if you like. By the way, you're an educated man, Doctor. What is your opinion of these flying saucers?
Educated man, my clavicle. He's the type of ignoramus that believes anything.
Children, I have been practicing medicine for 30 years.
Practicing is right.
I believe everything and nobody. If hundreds of reputable citizens claim to see strange things in the sky, I'd be the last one to prescribe scoff medicine.
Now there, McGee, you see, Dr. Gamble is no skeptic.
Oh, he's open-minded, all right. The wind blows right through it. So you believe in this flying saucer, Mahula? Eh, childish?
I didn't say I believed in them.
Oh.
But I don't deny there might be such things.
Huh?
I've never heard a Republican play the Missouri Waltz on a piano either, but that doesn't prove it couldn't happen. Come on, I'll drive you downtown.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor. Much obliged. And if I see any spaceships on the way, I'll let you know.
Thanks. You ready, Molly?
Let's go, gentlemen.
Flying saucers. Flying saucers. That's pure mob psychiatry. That's what it is. Hysteria. I'll believe in them when I see them. And by George, I'll bet it'll be a long time.
Heavenly days, look up there. Look at the bees.
Hey, Doc, it's coming this way. Look at the tubes and the knobs. Look at the smoke. Right in our own front yard.
Yow!
Great Scott, if I hadn't believed this with my own eyes, I wouldn't have seen it.
Stay away from the boys. It might be dangerous. What do you think, Doctor?
I don't know. It's a weird-looking object.
I gotta report this. I'll call Washington. The Hexagon Building. You wait here and keep an eye on it. Where's the phone? Hand me the phone. Hello. Hello, operator. Give me long Washington and D.C. distance. I mean, connect me with the Army. Yeah. Hello, Army. This is Fibber McGee in Wistful Vista. A flying saucer just crashed in my front yard. Huh? What say, Army? Rope it off and keep people away from it, eh? Okay, Army. Right. Get some rope, Doc. Get some rope. We gotta rope it off. Keep people away from it. Orders from Washington. I called them.
What'd they say?
They says it's a lot of silly nonsense and don't talk about it to anybody. They said it was probably just my imagination and they're gonna rush out and take pictures of it. Oh, boy, a flying saucer. Right in our own front yard. And the first time I seen it, it was coming in low over the trees with its rockets shooting out blue flames.
All right, folks, keep moving, keep moving.
I seen it was in trouble, see, and I says to my wife, look, I says, a flying saucer. There's no such, she says, a thing. And I says, don't be, I says, so skeptical, I says. And she says that...
All right, folks, moving on, keep moving. And you, Gabby, get off them front steps and run along.
He doesn't have to get off of these steps. He lives here, don't you, Gabby?
Huh?
I mean, McGee.
You betcha. Now, don't start ordering me around, Flatfoot. I'm the fellow that he first seen that flying saucer. I seen it crash, too. It was coming in low over the trees, see, with its rockets shooting blue flames. I seen it was in trouble
Yeah. I heard you tell it 12 times already. Hey, you kids, get away from them ropes.
My, I haven't seen such excitement since the lion got loose at the circus and you chased him back into his cage, McGee.
I wasn't chasing him. He grabbed my hamburger and I was trying to get it back. My gosh, I was... Hey, look at the Boy Scout. Oh, a handsome kid in that uniform, ain't he? Hey, Bud, you want to hear about how I seen that flying saucer crash?
Yes, sir, I would.
That's fine, Sonny. I think all you Boy Scouts should know.
Oh, I'm not a Boy Scout, ma'am. I'm a Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force. Retired.
A Lieutenant Colonel?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm not as young as I look. I'm 20. Can you tell me, sir, did this aircraft have a tapered empennage, and did it appear to be a guided missile rather than a conventional pilot control type? Would you say it was dependent on rocket propulsion or some hitherto unknown gravity-repellent magnetic field type of turbojet power?
Tell him, dearie.
Okay. Well, sir, Bud, the first time I seen it, it was coming in low over them trees with its rocket shooting out blue flame. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, how do I know you ain't the agent for some foreign power, Buster? Are them American decorations you're wearing?
Yes, sir. Most of them I got since the war.
Oh?
Spraying fruit trees. This distinguished fruit fly award with the six twigs was for 20 combat missions over an apple orchard in Walla Walla.
Heavenly days, and you got back safely from all of them, huh?
Oh, yes, ma'am. My last mission was pretty tough, though. My wingman crashed into a cider mill and came in at 12 o'clock, high. Well, thanks for the information, sir. Good day, ma'am.
Good day, Sonny. I'm in, Colonel. Heavenly days, what are they doing now?
Well, let's go over and see, but don't get too close, Tootsie. That thing might be retroactive.
Radioactive. Retroactive means it goes back.
Well, this maybe won't go back. Looks like our kitchen stove after I make pancakes. All battered up. Hey, folks, let us through here, please. Let us through. We're the people seeing the crash.
Oh, look, Joe. There's that pot-bellied little moron that's been ordering everybody around. He must think he owns this place.
He don't own nothing, the petty larceny little twerp. He'd probably want to charge us 4 bits a head for standing here.
All right, folks, all right now. You're all trespassing on my property, you know. Everybody that wants to stay and watch, it'll cost you 2 bits a head.
Now, take it easy, dearie. You can't charge the... Oh, hello there, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, hi, Junior.
Let the man through, folks. Let him through.
Hello, Molly. Hello, pal. Hey, here you got a flying saucer here. Is that it over there, that pile of junk metal?
That's it, Junie. Me and Molly and Doc Gamble seen it crash. I first seen it coming in low over the trees, see? Flying low, with orange and green lights and 5 little men sticking their heads out of the porthole. It circled the city hall, and then they all bailed out and the whole...
They did not.
Well, they must have. There was nobody in it when it hit.
Well, this is very interesting. This is the first real proof we've had of interplanetary travel. Hey, I'm going to ask for a bigger sales territory for Johnson's Wax products.
Huh?
Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus. Ah, Venus. That's for me.
Maybe they don't have any linoleum on Mars, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, they won't have any Mars on their linoleum either. They sure won't when I sell them that wonderful Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat, the finest protection against Mars and scratches and spilled things that money can buy.
Hey, wait a minute, Flash Gordon. You seriously think you could take a spaceship up through the Milky Way to sell Glow Coat?
The Milky Way is the way a lot of linoleum looks after damp mopping, pal. But the Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat way leaves no milky-looking streaks, by Jupiter.
That's all very well to sell wax from a spaceship, Mr. Wilcox. But what if you should run into one of those big, what do you call a star with a tail?
Lassie.
Oh, you.
Ah, but this is a fascinating idea. Just think. Flying through space, Johnson's star salesman, carrying the Johnson's water repellent glow coat message through the whole solar system, showing the housewives on thousands of other planets how simply and easily and economically they can protect their wood and linoleum floors against cosmic dust and tracked in mud from meteor showers with the wax protection that stays on and stays bright.
Waxy.
Yes, pal.
Mr. Wilcox, what do you seriously think of these flying saucers?
Yeah.
Well, if they really develop them, they'll be great for honeymoon trips.
Yeah?
There's no place to spoon like a saucer.
place to spoon like a sausage. I don't know what we'd ever do without that boy, but it's a sweet thought to play around with.
Oh, now, McGee, I think he's a very conscientious lad. Yeah.
You are a comrade, McGee?
Yes, we are, sir. I mean, he is. I'm Mrs. McGee, his wife by marriage.
Da.
Hi, Mr. Da.
No, no, not Da. My name is Sergei Petrovsky. I'm tourist.
Isn't that a Russian name, sir?
Yes, Petrovsky is good American name. You give me loyalty oath, I sign. Then I take plenty pictures flying saucer. You care?
No, just as long as you ain't a spy, bud. You want a story to go with it? Well, sir, I first seen it coming in low over trees at an altitude of 10,000 foot.
Where did you say you were from, sir?
Brooklyn-grad. Out of the way, capitalist. Spasiba. I take plenty pictures. Click, 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 click.
Pleasant guy. And them mustaches look so familiar.
Well, McGee, this is quite an exhibit you have here. As mayor of the town in which a real flying saucer was first seen, I would like to say...
The first time we saw it, Mr. Mayor, it was coming in low over the trees there.
I'll tell it, kiddo, I'll tell it. I've had more practice. It was coming in over them trees, Latrivia, flying low and kind of wild.
Yes, I've heard all about it, McGee. You haven't been exactly reticent about this, you know.
You bet I haven't. Orders, boy. The Army told me not to talk. Security. Security reasons. Top secret.
Big deal. Off the bottom of the deck.
Well, I've always said that if you want to keep flying saucers a secret, there's nothing like sending them across the sky on a clear day to crash in some talkative fellow's front yard with a loud noise.
Mr. Mayor, what do you think of this thing?
Well, it's the first one I've seen, Molly. My nephew is an airline pilot. He chased a flying saucer last week for 20 minutes.
My gosh, did he catch it, Latriv?
No, but he would have if he'd been in his airplane. As it was, he tripped over a horse and fell flat on... just a moment. What's this?
Hey, look. Soldiers. The Army's taking the flying saucer over. Look, Molly.
Heavenly day. Look at the fancy uniforms. They must all be general.
Hey!
Are you his honor, the mayor? Yes, I'm my honor. I mean, I'm his mayor. I'm Mayor Latrivia. Is the army taking over here?
Gee, I don't know, Mr. Mayor. We're the Shriners drill team from Springfield, and we got lost. Did you see a parade go past here?
No, the parade is on 14th Street. 3 blocks west and turn right.
Oh, thanks very much.
And hut! Hut! Face! Forward! Hut!
Back there, please, folks. Don't touch the flying saucer.
Who's that smart, Alec? I don't see no uniform on.
Oh, he lives here. He's the one who saw it crash. His name is McSpee, Slabber McSpee.
Now, stand back, bud. Don't touch the flying saucer. Security rules, you know. Now, stand back.
Oh, McGee.
Huh?
Here's a lady wants to see you.
Oh.
This is my husband, Miss Dendron.
Oh, I'm so happy to know you, Mr. McGee.
Oh, thanks, sis. What'd you say your name was?
Dendron, Mr. McGee. Rhoda Dendron. Of the Whistle Vista Peony and Petunia Club.
Oh.
The girls have asked me to interview you for our club paper, the Petunia Planter.
Isn't that nice, dearie?
Oh, you mean on account of finding the saucer, huh? The Petunia Planter, eh? Well, you can tell your reader, sis, that I was well known as a planter myself at one time.
Why, really, Mr. McGee? Oh, let me make some notes. Oh, this will just thrill the girls. What did you plant, Mr. McGee?
Corn, mostly.
No. I had charge at one time of my Aunt Rose's raisin ranch, and we raised more real raisins than any raisin ranch has raised in recent years.
Dear.
Raisins.
Mm.
Oh, my, let me write this down, every word of it. Our readers will just love it.
Well, sis, Aunt Rose's Raisin Ranch raised such good raisins that we started raising raisin prices. And the raisin prices of Rose's Ranch raised raisins raised holy heck with the other raisin ranchers. I watched the raisin market for recent rises in raisin rates, and by the time the rates for real ranch raised raisins was Rose right, all the raisins we raised was rotted right on Rose's ranch. Between raisin raisins and raisin ranchers and raisin rates and rotten raisins, we plowed the whole thing up and planted tulips. Did you get that sense? Did you write it down?
Why, I broke the point on my pencil.
Oh.
Would you mind repeating that for us?
Excuse me, sir. I got to go speak to a man over here.
Yes, pardon us, Miss Petunia.
Hey, Bud, you in the uniform with the scrambled eggs on the shoulder and the gravy on your sleeve. You looking for me?
Are you McGee?
Yes, he is, sir. I am Mrs. McGee.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee? I am General Bacon, head of intelligence.
Well, I'm glad to know you, Baconhead. Well, sir, we were standing...
No, McGee.
Huh?
General Bacon, it
is.
How do you do, I'm sure, General? If there's anything we can tell you now...
Thank you very much, Mrs. McGee, but I have a complete report from the police and from my men here. We'll take charge now.
I think I better fill you in, General. Just in case they missed any details. You'll want an eyewitness account to take back to Eisenhower anyhow.
General Eisenhower has retired, McGee.
Well, wake him up. My gosh, this thing is important. Now, for the first time I've seen this flying saucer, General. It was coming in low at high altitude with its rocket shooting out blue flame. Where are you going, Molly?
In the house a minute, dearie. Oh. I've heard this till I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, and me too. But anyway, like I say, it was coming in low over the trees. Hey, General. Where'd he go? Oh, well, nobody wants to hear about the flying saucer. I guess I might as well...
Let me through, please. Let me through.
Huh?
Let me through. I'm a personal friend of the family. Let me through, please.
Oh.
Hi, mister.
Well, hi, Teeny. Better get up here on the porch, sis, before you get stepped on.
Thank you, mister. Oh, boy. Policemen and soldiers and... Gee... What's all the crowd for, mister? What is it for? Tell me.
Well, they're here to see me, sis. You see, I've just become the first man to establish contact with another planet. I have just had a visit from Mars.
Mars?
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Did he give you any candy bars, mister? I love Mars.
No, sis. Now, look. You ever hear of flying saucers, Teeny?
Oh, sure I have, I bet you.
Yeah?
Me and Willie Toops made one this morning, mister.
Oh, you did, eh? You and Willie Toops made a flying saucer?
Yeah.
Oh.
We had some big, huge skyrockets left from last year, and we fastened them onto my mama's old roasting pan and let them, and it sailed over our house, and... Hey! There it is! That's our flying saucer.
That what?
Saucer in the driveway. One side, everybody. Yeah. That's mine. Hey, Willie, here.
You know, McGee, I was very surprised that Mayor Latrivia was fooled by that flying saucer. He was the chief gunner's mate in the Coast Guard, you know.
Yeah, done a lot of time in submarines, too. He says they used to while away the time playing contract while they were submerged.
My, think of that. Playing cards deep under the ocean.
Yeah. But as Latrivia says, there's been a lot of bridge under the water since then. Get it, kiddo? Bridge under the water? Water under the bridge?
Ain't funny, McGee.
Oh, well, you can't laugh very loud in a submarine, anyhow. Uses up too much air.
Good night, Al.
Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, and Brantford, Canada, bring you Fibber, McGee, and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you?
If you want to give your furniture a shine that really lasts, there's only one polish for you to use. Here's why. Johnson's Cream Wax is a polish that gives your furniture real wax protection and a real wax shine. But recent tests show that the shine you get from other leading cream furniture polishes comes from oils. Now, a wax shine lasts for weeks and weeks, but an oil shine fades out, turns foggy and smeary almost overnight. So, when you choose a furniture polish, be wise. Protect yourself from fade-out shine. Get the wax polish that shines for weeks and weeks instead of just a day. get Johnson's Cream Wax at your dealers.